Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I agree. He missed sick. That's why she's not on, so she won't be coming on. I told her to take some ginger, make up some ginger root and make it and drink it. She should be fine. Okay, Javar, you back?
We're on record.
Oh, we're recording. Okay. Well, we thank everybody for coming on our new year, the 7th of January, 2014. We just finished 2013, so now we're here to start a new year. And so we'll be studying and trying to grasp more as Yahweh opens the door for us. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful day that You have granted to us, the opportunity to study and be alive and well. We ask that You will give us wisdom and guidance as we open Your Word. Give us clarity of thought so that we might be able to perceive the things You would have for us to know and understand. Help us, strengthen us, fill us with Your Holy Spirit in Your early and latter rain. Bless Mope as she's sick, as she tries to recover. Bless that Thou will reach out Your healing arms to heal her. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. We have on page 22, as was mentioned, who is this man called John the Baptist? And it starts off with John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Now, before we talked about this group here, it says, when the Jews sent priests and Levites. And who did we say this group of Jews was?
Wasn't it the Pharisees, Sadducees, so on?
Yeah, those that were part of the Sanhedrin. That was the group because they were able to send out priests and Levites who were under them. So it's not the common people. It's the hierarchical group of folk, which is, as you said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sadducees included the priests and the Levites. The Pharisees did not. So the question here is asked, who art thou? Now, has anyone before asked that question and answered it for everybody who was part of the Sanhedrin and told what the Sanhedrin believed?
Yeah.
Okay, who was this person and what did he say?
I'm sure you have to look back because I don't recall. I remember we went over this before and discussed it.
Yeah, chapter 4, Nicodemus. He says that, chapter 3, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these works unless Yahweh is with him. So when he says, since he's part of the Sanhedrin, when he says we know, who's he talking about?
Maybe who?
You're talking about the Sanhedrin, the ones who sent out this thing, yeah. So he let everybody know, or let Yeshua know, that no matter what they say, don't let them trick you. We know you from Yahweh. So there was no reason really to ask this question. The Sanhedrin already knew who he was. They knew who Yeshua was. They knew who John the Baptist was.
Okay.
As we show here, We talked about it before. The Jews mentioned are the Jewish leaders, which include the priests and Levites. And how do they think that they can challenge the prophet of the highest to ask him such a thing? What do they have on their minds that they think that they can challenge Yahweh's servant, a watchman on the wall of Zion blowing the trumpet, awakening those that are asleep? This is the call that we have been called to wake up the people. He had no allegiances and no, he did not join the Pharisees, the Sadducees, any of those groups. If I'm correct, I believe him and Yeshua were part of the Essenes. So they had given up all the stuff that everyone else was running after. And they wanted to make sure to find out of for him to stand his place, and he could tell them who he was or what group he followed is really what they wanted to know. What organization, whose teachings are you going to respect, and whose teachings are you going to throw away? And as we know, that his father, Zechariah, was a priest. Is that right?
Yes.
He was one of these groups. And so John the Baptist was born into this ministry, born into this work. But the question is, whose is his alliance going to be? To man and their traditional organization? Or is he going to be connected to the Most High and follow him only? Will Yahweh be his king? That is the question that they're really asking. And they feared him because they knew what the promises were that were given to him. But that's paragraph one. But paragraph two lets us know that John did not care about anything of what they said. He didn't care about what rank they had. He didn't care about what schools they went to. He didn't care about what accreditation they had. He didn't care anything about their scholarly traditional position. He was not blessed or sanctioned by the state or sanctioned or blessed. He was not an authorized sanctioned scholar from the traditional Jewish school or train of thought of what was going on. Him and the Essenes lived out in the country, taught, and tried to let loose, what do you call it? Try to set free the captive. That's what he was doing. Free the captive. Because he was born from his mother's womb with the Holy Spirit. Now, we never read about anybody being filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. This is the only passage that mentions that. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit and having the Spirit from his mother's womb, what do you think that was, having the Spirit to help him? What do you think that helped him in as he went through life?
Well, seeing things and understanding things that other people might find challenging, I guess you could say.
I agree.
Being able to read. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'll agree with you.
Yeah, being able to read through some of the lies and some of the things, some of the beliefs, some of the doctrines that the, what are they called? But that, like, certain groups, being able to see through some of that stuff.
Some of the Pharisees and Sadducees?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, for 400 years, they had not heard of a prophet. The last prophet was Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And for 400 years, they had not seen a prophet, heard of a prophet. And now this prophet comes on the stage, and Yahweh prophesied it at his birth, at his naming ceremony, that he's the prophet of the Most High. And later on, we find Yeshua saying that there is none greater than John the Baptist. And so some of the verses we talked about in Malachi, as we have them listed, as it talks about Elijah and his role, and Elijah's character was to break the spells that the priests and the Levites and the leadership had put over the people. The Bible says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, for thy light is come." And so today, do we find ourselves in that same condition?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are just asleep, kind of just going with the flow, kind of just in a nonchalant mood, I guess, kind of just follow the leader kind of thing.
True.
So, are young people trying to figure this out?
I think not all of them.
No. I mean, y'all, the young people, y'all folks be telling me, y'all generation, is anybody trying to figure this thing out? Some people telling me, yeah, the young people, man, they try. I don't know about all that. But, so, ask the young people; they'll tell you.
No, I'm not going to generalize, because there's plenty of people who do different things in life. But a lot of them, I mean, when they have something or mindset ingrained within them or from someone else above them or this or that, they kind of just go with it.
I mean,
that's just life in general. I mean, sometimes you just don't question things you don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, I know that in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, that then said Yeshua to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So do people really want to know the truth so they can be liberated?
Some people are comfortable how they are, though. As with everybody.
Right, so this is what's needed. People have to study so they can figure out what truth is so that they might become free. But the world isn't going to free you. The first thing you got to realize that you're enslaved. If you never realize that you're enslaved, then there's hate. You'll never figure out that you need to get out. Is that right?
Right.
So that's the first step, knowing where we are. There's a scripture in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, and it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in a valley of decision. For the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision." Is that where people are today? Is this where we find ourselves?
In the valley of decision?
Yes. Multitudes in the valley of decision.
Yeah, I'd say. Everything.
But do they know that they're in the valley of decision? Do they know that they got to make decisions?
Probably they don't know the decisions they have to make.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if these scriptures, you know, help them understand. Like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, so many people have misunderstood the scriptures and blame Yahweh for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were taught wrong, not knowing that they're in a system that is enslaving them. And over time, you forget what these things were created for, that were created by your ancestors and the people before you. And so every once in a while, you need somebody to wake people up, like this one in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 says, so thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman on the house of Israel, unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. So Yahweh here is letting us know that he sets people up as watchmen. And as we know, John the Baptist was one of them. He was blowing the trumpet, giving it a certain sound, so that people could no longer just stay where they were, asleep. Now, if you know the truth, are you supposed to not say anything about it?
You're supposed to help enlighten other people.
That is right. If people in the valley of decision, they need people to help them see what condition they find themselves in. Like here in Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12 says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn to death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou say, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? What does that verse tell you guys?
Isn't he supposed to basically give back and educate other people that are unknowledgeable or kind of lost or looking for direction?
Yeah.
Yep, those that are drawn unto death and don't even know it. Ready to be slain. That just happens so much in our communities, we don't even know what to say. And I thought this was very applicable to us and our situation. Because in Hosea 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's basically what's killing us. We don't want to graduate from school. Some people will drop out in high school, drop out in elementary school. I mean, in the past, my grandfather and them had to do that. And, you know, back then, my mom, my grandmother, you know, they just went to elementary school. And, you know, today, people are, you know, want to drop out for no reason at all. They had to drop out so they can help feed the family. And people are not thinking that, what is knowledge, by the way?
I the things you know, the things that are true, and that are real.
Okay, things you learn from experience and so forth. Now, why do young people, a lot of young people, are not interested in knowledge? Which is what is destroying us. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Every generation has that problem.
They don't want to listen, some of them.
Well, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Wow. As if I will also reject thee, that thou be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. I will also forget thy children. And so as we forget, then our children forget, and next thing we know that we're caught up in tradition and we don't have no clue of what we were doing and why we were doing it. It was not always passed down from generation to generation. But in the ancient world, it was always passed down. They thought that was very important. That was important. Today, everybody's separated, and everybody wants to do their own thing. And so there is nothing to carry on from generation to generation. The wisdom that has been gained, the knowledge, and so forth. Because I remember my grandfather. He told us, listen, they can take anything and everything from they take your house, they take your car, they take your clothes off your back, but one thing they can't take from you, which is your knowledge. And the Bible says, with all you're getting, get an understanding.
True.
Yep, so this is the time for us to try to understand what's going on so that we can move to the next stage. And this is where John the Baptist was. All the stuff that we just talked about, he was a watchman on the wall of Zion. He was telling people to study to show their prayerful proof. He was telling the people that they were being destroyed for lack of knowledge. He told them to believe. Then there's stages in development. One stage is that you usually start off is believing whatever your parents or whatever somebody tells you. That's called the belief stage. And lots of people stay there and never advance. The next stage is the knowledge stage, that we should be seekers of knowledge, of the true knowledge. And as we develop an understanding of knowledge, then we not just believe in, we understand how things work. And how Yahweh uses people. And so that becomes critical that people start moving from just a blind belief into a knowledge base so that they can, you know, understand what's going on and why they're in the positions they are and what they need to understand to get out. Does that make sense?
It does.
Cool.
And so that's where we are. So as you study the Bible, as you study writings, as you study stuff, you get to the point that, hey, I no longer believe that the light turns on. I understand when the light turns on when I get the switch because it's generated from electricity and it turns on. It's no mystery. Okay, you have the knowledge of understanding the physics behind it. And so we need to have a knowledge base of understanding, but you don't get a knowledge base unless you study. And that's why he said study to show yourself approved. And that's what John did. And so when John and Yeshua did that, I remember they asked the question, how does this man know letters that he never read? How does this man know this stuff and he's never been taught by us? And Yeshua said, hey, man, my teaching is not my teaching, but the teaching of the Father. And the Bible says that the time will come where there will be no need that no man teach you. Did y'all know that?
No.
Yeah, that's in the Epistles of John. Mm-hmm. Plus, the Bible also says that he will send the Spirit of truth, and he will teach and guide you into all truth. So the Spirit can lead you really into everything. You do not need man. You don't need his pulpit. You don't need his church. Yahweh can teach you, and he has taught the people in the past that way. And he wants to reveal things to us, but if we don't have a knowledge base, if we don't have nothing to get knowledge so that he can reveal it to us, then you would sort of like out of a handicap. So we must, you know, spend some time trying to figure this out, trying to understand what his plan is. And John the Baptist found out. So the John the Baptist was so connected to the Spirit that the Spirit could teach and guide him into all truth, the same thing with Yeshua, such that they didn't need an alliance with an organization. He just did what was right. Now we're on page number 24, and the next verse says, verse 20 and 21. Anyone have their scriptures with them?
I can grab
someone
one
read that for us. Yeah, we're top of page 24 now.
Say that again.
We're on the top of page 24.
Yes. John.
All right. Can we have someone read that? John 1, verses 20 and 21.
Okay. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they said, they asked him, why then art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no.
Okay. Well, right here it makes mention that John was not taking credit to himself. He said, listen, he said he's not Elijah, he's not the prophet, he's not the Messiah, but in reality he came in the spirit of Elijah and did not know it. And now many people ask the question, we know who Elijah was. The prophet. Okay? Now let's read in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. It talks about, he asked about this prophet. Let's see who he's talking about now.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken.
Okay, so it makes mention here, so they were asking, they read this verse, and they were saying, are you this prophet that's going to be like Moses?
Yeah.
And we know who the Messiah is. The Messiah is the reflection of the Father. So they're asking him that they were expecting three major characters. Two of them occurred. One was the Messiah through Yeshua. The other is Elijah, which is John the Baptist. And it says the spies were sent from the leadership asking these important questions. Now, most people never knew what it meant by what prophet. But we see here, it lets us know of what prophet is talking about. Now, how many people actually knew about John the Baptist and what he was predicted to do? Well, let's read it in Luke chapter 1, verse 64 through 66.
And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around them. And all these sayings were noised about
abroad throughout all of the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him.
Okay, so in this verse, what do we see going on here?
Everyone was fear was brought to everyone after they heard him open his mouth.
And who was talking? Who was opening his mouth?
That is John, correct?
Nope, that was John's dad. This is Luke chapter 1. It's the prophecy of John.
Yeah. Zachariah.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Yes.
And it says that everybody wanted to know what was really going to happen with this kid that was born, that was prophesied about, and all of that, such that everybody knew about it in the hill country, throughout Judah. So everybody's been waiting for 30 years to see what type of being this will be that Yahweh was raising up.
Mm.
And the leadership feared them because they knew that their time was over. Their rulership of deception will be exposed. And now people can once again choose Yahweh as their Savior, as their Lord, as their King, as their ruler. And that's all he wants us to be able to accept him as our King, our ruler, our Lord, to lead and guide us in our lives. Of how will Yahweh choose or pick us? How will Yahweh move us to the next level? What will he do for his people? Okay, next verse, Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 71.
And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
What is that telling us?
Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right, and what did Zachariah prophesy? That the promises that we've been waiting for is coming to pass. And it will be fulfilled through my son. And he did raise up a horn of salvation. He did all of those different things. And so now we have one of the priests prophesying. And I'm sure the Sadducees and Pharisees were not happy with his prophecy. And all the people that hate us, this is what we're waiting for. We're waiting for deliverance from our enemies. Our enemies that are different complexions, even those that are black, that are selling drugs and killing each other. I mean, we have to be delivered from this. And most of us, we're our greatest enemy. And so we have to get the victory over ourselves so that we might be useful in the cleaning up of this mess. That we might be able to go forth. But right now we're caught up in miseducation. We let the enemy brainwash us through subliminal subduction, through the media, in different forms that it comes in. And so now it's time for us to wake out of darkness, that we might be able to see the light. And the government miseducates the people. The churches miseducate the people. Everybody is miseducating the people. And because the people don't study to show themselves approved, it's guaranteed that they can get over all the time. And then they created their practices of accreditation to force the schools to be able to do that, so that they can only use their authorized sanctioned scholars, those people that they say, hey, we are telling you to teach this thing, and you propagate the whole thing. And so most people are just repeating the same things that the other people taught them. They're not no new thinkers coming up with a new understanding of the scriptures. Matter of fact, most people don't even know that we are the people of the book. I think it's some other group.
Yeah.
What's that?
Who, me?
I thought somebody said something. Okay, let's read Luke 1, verse, the next few verses, 76 and 77.
And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins.
All right, what is that telling you?
He'll give you knowledge of salvation. You can repent from your sins.
And he wants to give you light out of darkness. That's where knowledge comes in. That's why I keep saying it's not just faith. He has to give you knowledge so that you might be able to see through the darkness. And many of us are sitting in the shadow of death, ready to die. But he needs to guide our feet as we walk through this maze. And it says the child grew, right?
Yes.
To give knowledge of salvation and remission of sins, the prophet of the highest. So that means that there will be no higher prophet than John the Baptist to prepare the people for his first coming. And so that will be repeated for his second coming. He wants us to be in the same position such that we can be voices in the wilderness. We can be voices to awaken up the people out of their sleep. What's the next verse reading for us there?
To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel.
And what is that saying to you all?
Exactly what you just mentioned, really, giving light to people that are dark and guide their feet, point them in the right direction.
You need to take some time, too, and get himself prepared before you go out and do what God had him do.
I can't understand you. What are you saying?
If he could take some time to prepare before he was ready for what God had him to do.
Yep, he had to be studied up. He had to understand and let Yahweh talk to him. Lead and guide him and give him knowledge of the way.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what was needed. And so this is what they were asking. They knew all of this, and so why would you ask the question, who are you, if you know all of this about the guy. Does that make sense?
They wanted to find out if he knew.
No, it didn't make sense at all. They were just teasing him, just trying to, you know, figure out to get him to speak. And in Isaiah talks about this light, of how to get out of the light, or how deep is the darkness that surrounds us, of why we need the light. Why do we need somebody like a John the Baptist to awaken us out of sleep? Because the person asleep, they don't know that they need to be awakened, do they?
No.
No, I guess they don't.
No. When you're sleeping, do you know anything that's going on in the room around you?
No.
People come in and rob you blind, and you be right there sleeping, and you would never know. And that's literally what they've been doing to us spiritually, robbing us blind and not knowing. And so the next verse tells us how deep this darkness is. Can you read that for us, Jabari? Tell us what it is.
Isaiah 61 and 2. Arise, shine thy light. Shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Yep, so over here in Isaiah, he's letting us know that the darkness is deep, but the people, the earth is covered in darkness, but the people are in worse darkness than the darkness that surrounds us.
Yep.
That's pretty bad shape that we find ourselves in that we cannot even escape.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's what we have to realize so that we can want to escape. If you never know that you're in gross darkness, you won't even know that you're, you know, you're just asleep. And people can be, you know, like I said, rob you blind and you would never know until you wake up. And most of the time when you're dreaming, what are you dreaming? What are you doing? Sleeping. You're dreaming, right? You're dreaming how wonderful it all is until you wake up, as they call it, the American dream. And when you realize this is only a mirage, this is only a joke, then what do?
Hmm.
That's the key. That's where we find ourselves. All right, and John?
John 22 and 23. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elias. Or Isaiah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the verses we just read. Yep, that's his goal. They're asking him, hey, what do you say of yourself, bro? He says, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, trying to prepare Yahweh's people for the imminent domain of what's about to happen. Most people, I said, I want to know what's happening. But listen, man, you're going to wish that you did know. All right, John, verse 24 and 25, John chapter 1.
And they which were sent to the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias? Neither that prophet.
Okay. So they were concerned because the only people that baptized were Essenes. They were the only ones that baptized. Pharisees, Sadducees, none of them people baptized. And so this is another proof that John the Baptist, who baptized, and Yeshua was Essenes. Next verse, verses 26 through 28.
John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing.
So what is those verses saying to you?
He's just saying that there's someone bigger in more person. You know, he baptizes in water, but someone else coming beyond him that will baptize in more than water and will do a lot more great things.
Yep, there's one greater than me in the midst of you guys. And it ain't me. I am not the Messiah. And verse 29.
The next day John seeing Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Now, why did he call Yeshua the son of Yahweh?
Because he knew that.
Okay, so what would the son of Yahweh mean? The Lamb of Yahweh.
The Messiah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That that he was going to die just like the lamb that they offer up every Passover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For their sins. So this was to let them know that there was a lamb that would take away all the sin. Notice the way it says take away the sins of the world or just the sin of the world? Singular or plural? Now, most people think Yahweh came to take away the sins of the world. No, he came to take away the root of the problem, which is the sin, which makes you sin. And not many people know that, but that's what it was all about, delivering us from ourselves, our sinful selves. Okay, last two verses, last few verses, John 1, 30 and 31.
This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water.
Okay, so one baptized with water, the other baptized with the Spirit.
And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from the heaven like a dove, and abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent him to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remain on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
So what is that verse telling you? This is our last verse where we are so far in revision number 12.
He's just saying that he knew that once he saw the dove come down from the sky and stay with Jesus, he knew that this was the guy who baptized with water. Actually, with the Holy Spirit. He knew that he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Evident.
Yep, now most people think A dove came down, but it didn't say a dove came down, did it?
No. A spirit.
It says a spirit. Mm-hmm. Which was like a dove. And ascended on him. So that he could know who's the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit while he baptizes with water. So now, that's good. Because when he sent out the 70, and when he sent out the 12, he gave them gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to minister to the people where they went. Amen. All right, any questions here? We know that we're finished. I have to work on Revision 13 so that we can get started on our new area, because now we've concluded this area.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments anyone would like to make?
No, not me.
No.
Okay. Well, if there's no questions, we have someone offer up a word of prayer to close us out.
I can pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the time that we got to spend together, reading of your word and connecting with one another. Please bless us now as we prepare for the week ahead and bring us back together again next week. In your name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.